BITCO is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. BITCO.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. Now, I'm near Lanseria today on a beautiful estate in the shadow of the Magaliesberg to chat to Craig Venter, who I don't think needs much introduction to our listeners to this podcast. Craig, of course, was a CEO of Altec and then Ultron TMT until about two and a half years ago when he stepped down from the group founded by his father, Bill Venter, back in 1947. 2 years after the end of the Second World War.
That's right.
It's been around for a long time.
Quite a few years.
Craig spent 27 years with the group, and his departure in 2015 was not entirely unexpected as Ultron transitioned from being a family-run business to having a non-Fenter CEO for the first time in its 50-year history earlier this year when Mteto Nyati took the reins. Craig, I guess my first question has to be, do you miss Ultron and Altec?
It's a good question, as an initial question. I think, obviously, with the family influence and with my dad having started the business over 50 years ago, as you correctly say in your intro, the family's been involved. I've been involved, as you say, for 28 years. It would be natural to miss parts of the group in terms of being involved. I think all in all, though, for me, it's been a breath of fresh air being able to get into a different industry 2.5 years ago and start building something that's mine and that's basically something that I started. So I feel mixed. I mean, I'm not missing it, but at the same time, obviously still very much tracking and obviously there are a lot of people and good people that I've worked with, over the years that are there. So yes, so, you know, you miss it a little bit, but I've moved on and, happy and have been doing my own thing for 2.5 years.
You're still a big investor in Ultron, and I want to ask you a bit about that. Your brother Robbie ran the business for a number of years prior to Mteto taking over as CEO. Mm. Is he still involved in the business, or has he also stepped away now?
He's also stepped away. You know, he's now living in the UK.
Oh, he's relocated.
In the UK now, living there. I think Robbie as CEO. I think what happened for many years. Is that Altec was, and probably still is, the majority of Ultron. Altec and Bytes, as you know, were the two groups that I was responsible for. I think Robbie, as CEO of Ultron, after I stepped down 2.5 years ago, at the same time, we had Rob Abrams, who is the CEO of Bytes, exceptional CEO. And Rob and myself worked very closely together, me more so on the Altec side, but Rob running Bytes and reporting to me. And I think, you know, that was 90% of Ultron, really, if you look at it. The only balance being PowerTech and the PowerTech businesses. And I think, you know, if I'm bold enough to say, in my opinion, there was quite a big vacuum created when Rob also stepped down, Rob Abrams, because he retired at that point in time. And I think Robbie then continued as CEO for the last 2 years. And the group itself went through some difficult times in the 2 years. And I think at the end of the day, you know, that was under Robbie's stewardship. I think he obviously at the time, as you said, transitioning from a family kind of operated business into a non-family operated business, Robbie stepped down 6 months ago, Mteto took over the reins as CEO. And yes, you know, the family's got a significant investment in Altron. So we're always watching, and I'm always watching, in terms of just seeing what's happening and what's taking place.
Do you have any involvement at all? Do you speak to Mteto at all? Do you provide advice to him, or have you completely stepped away?
I think that both Robbie, myself, and I'm sure, you know, to a large extent, my dad, you know, with my dad taking now the emeritus chairmanship as opposed to being chairman itself or executive chairman, I think the family has also taken a view that we need to provide the support and guidance, and I think that's what Robbie and my dad have most surely been doing over this period, but not getting involved and letting Mteto do what he needs to do. And
so he's got independence too.
So he's got that independence, and there hasn't been a hell of a lot of interactions at all, nothing from my side at all. But I think that, you know, the jury is out now. I think the group itself was a 30 billion rand company. It's now been transformed or reduced to a company that's about 15 billion in turnover. I think the share price has come under tremendous pressure in the last 2 years. I'm not saying that's because I wasn't there or that I left 2.5 years ago, but that is a fact. When I left, the share price was 14 rand. And it hit a low of just under 5 rand. So it's recovered now slightly and come back, but we're still not where we were 2 years ago when I stepped down, when the share price was 14 rand. So, you know, the management must take responsibility for that, and basically they need to, you know, the jury's out to see what we can do. I mean, it's fine to close a lot of businesses, write off a lot of financials, take a big hit, reduce the business to a small size, but then it's important that the group actually has organic growth, and it shows the kind of double-digit consecutive kind of earnings growth going forward that's not based just on closing businesses or taking big write-offs. And I think that's going to be the true test for the new management at Altron, and I wish them all the best.
I mean, do you believe it was the right strategy to close down these if I can call them legacy businesses like PowerTech, etc.? I mean, the industry had changed quite dramatically. Was it the right strategy to reduce the size of the group, to do all these closures, and to focus on future growth?
I think the, you know, in some cases it was correct, Duncan. You know, some of the decisions. The others that I wouldn't have done, or I wouldn't have recommended to do. I think there's been a little bit of politics at play as well, all in all, and a little bit of finger pointing and looking for a scapegoat in terms of some of the things that have taken place. I think PowerTech as a group has always been the Achilles heel, in my view, and I know a lot of people at the board's level, of the Altron group. And for too many years, I think nothing was done in terms of taking some clinical decisions that needed to be taken in terms of some of those manufacturing smokestack businesses, which ultimately, yes, I think those were the right decisions. I don't think that Mteto's, you know, fully through the gates on that, because I think there's still some legacy kind of businesses there that are quite manufacturing oriented that need to be potentially taken out. Mm. I think at the same time, I think, you know, a few of the other things, that there's some good decisions were made in terms of other aspects. I know Aberdeer and a number of companies within PowerTech, but it's still a work in progress. And as I say, I think the jury's out now to ensure that that Altron has the high growth businesses, and that the smokestack kind of heavily reliant, manufacturing reliant businesses are looked at very carefully. I think if one takes a view going back and kind of thinks about whether it was the right thing to take out the Altech minorities 5 years ago, was that the right decision or was that the wrong decision?
And just to remind listeners, that was when Altech was delisted and Altron bought out the minority shareholders in Altech.
Yes.
And that was at a time when perhaps Altech was going into a more difficult financial position, and so perhaps Altron overpaid for those minorities?
Yeah, Altec wasn't going through a difficult position at that point at all. In fact, we were 90% of Altron's profits at that point in time. Yeah. So Altec was going through a great period. I think Altron and Robbie running Altron, I think he would have preferred to have seen one entity rather than two entities, and then you know, his brother's running the other entity, that's other listed entity. And Altec was doing exceptionally well. We were rated as the best performing company on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange in 2003. We had, I think, 6 years of compounded earnings growth in double digits. So I think that at that point, Robbie heavily touted that, you know, we should probably take out the minorities from an Altron perspective of Altec. One has to ask whether that was the right decision, because from that point in time, Altron sat with in excess of 4 billion rands worth of debt. Mm. By taking out the minorities at quite a high price, because Altec was doing quite well at that point in time. And then by taking out the minorities, paying quite a premium, incurring debt at the Altron level, quite significant debt that also posed quite a lot of risk to the Fenter family itself, all under the stewardship of Robbie, one has to say, was it the right decision? And at the end of the day, one takes a look back, it also compromised I believe, our strategy with the investment community, in the sense that all of a sudden now, because you've taken out the Altec minorities, you're one entity, and now you've amalgamated all of the smokestack businesses of PowerTech into one pool, together with the ICT high growth businesses. And was that confusing then to the investment community, and was it the right decision? And personally, I feel it was the wrong decision.
So do you think maybe the so-called smokestack businesses should have been sold off or closed down first?
Correct.
Before there was this amalgamation? 100%.
And I think if you look back over the 7-8 years, where we had strategic conferences year on year, every year, it's minuted that I indicated, and I know a lot of other people indicated, that we should be taking those clinical decisions then. And you're right, it should have been done at that point in time. And then you would have had a cohesive one group that's ICT focused, which is pretty much what Imteto is doing right now, is he's making Altron and ICT business itself.
Yes.
And that's it.
So you're quite comfortable with the strategy now and where it's going?
I think it's right. I think it's good, and I think it's important. You know, I definitely for 7-8 years was a proponent, and it's minuted in all of our strat sessions that, you know, the low growth businesses, which are very different. I mean, there's some very good businesses, don't get me wrong, but they're very different to ICT or high growth businesses. Mm. So there's some good businesses within PowerTech, but again, you know, they need to be housed in the right entity. And at the same time, you know, when the Altec minorities were taken out, it pulled everything together, which I think wasn't the right thing to do. I think we could have disposed of some of the PowerTech entities at that time or before that, and built it there from there. So yes, I think the strategy looks good now, being a focused ICT company. I think, you know, Imteto has definitely, you know, again, like I say, I haven't spoken to him, but that's been specifically because I think it's right to give him the room to do what he does best. But like I say, I think it's important the jury's out, and he needs to now build the group in terms of a focused ICT group that shows, you know, consistent double-digit kind of earnings growth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would that be your most important measure of success, looking at earnings growth, or would you measure it by the share price? What are you looking for specifically out of Altron over the
coming years? I think, again, forgive me for being bold, because I can't talk on behalf of the family, but I'm being as part of the family, and being you know, the fact that there's a large Fenter family investment still as we speak within the Altron structure. I think that obviously share price and share price and double digit kind of earnings growth go together. I think Mteta would probably disagree, where he would say share price is less important. But at the end of the day, if one looks at market capitalization and valuation of the business, share price and double digit earnings are critical.
Okay. And what's the best way of doing that? I mean, we're in a very, very difficult economy at the moment.
It's a tough time.
Getting double digit earnings growth organically is incredibly tough.
Yeah.
I know that Ultron is talking again about acquisitions overseas. They've just done a deal in the UK. Is that the right approach, you think, to grow earnings?
I think, Duncan, you know, it's a tough one, but you're right. I mean, we're probably in the worst economic environment we've been in for quite some time now. So it's definitely acknowledged. I think the key thing is a couple of things that would need to be done strategically. I mean, the low growth non-ICT entities, I think, are quite critical to address those quite quickly, and they should have been addressed, as I say, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some headway has been made in that regard, but we're not there yet. At the same time, once you've got that focus, I think that the cost base has been reduced significantly by Mteto. I think Mteto has reduced 40% of the cost base at the centre.
Mm.
And I think rightfully so to a large degree, because remember, you had a group on a group almost, where you had head office costs, multiple layers of head office costs, which obviously were not to the benefit of the shareholders. So I think that a lot of cost reductions have taken place, which will bode well for the group going forward. However, it is important that you don't cut too much to the bone and lose some of the key expertise. And I think that the group in the last 2 years has lost, and through the reductions in headcount, I think some very key people have been lost, and that intellectual property is gone. So it's going to be important to see how that gets built again. And then, yes, I think, you know, a good earnings growth and a good share price, and there's no reason why it shouldn't happen. And like I say, I mean, with a vested interest, I would like to see nothing more than that. So to see a good growth kind of profile, et cetera. Even in a difficult economy, it's important that there is growth. Better than what you would get if you put the money in the bank.
just lastly on Ultron, you've stepped away from the business completely now. Do you see yourself going back there at some point in the future? Do you see an executive role for yourself within Ultron again at some point in the future, or are you out of that now?
No, I think, Duncan, you know, it's a good question. I mean, in order to answer it, I mean, I guess the short answer would be, I've no inclination whatsoever to be part of it again. I think that part of my life was there for 28 years. It was something that I'm very grateful for the things that I learned while I was there. I started at the bottom of LTech 28 years ago. I ended up being CEO of LTech, but I learned a lot of hard lessons on the way, good educational scenario. So for that, I'm very thankful to the Ultron Group, in particular to my dad, where, you know, people know my dad is a tough businessman. You know, the word nepotism doesn't come into his vocabulary. I mean, he knows and he knew that Robbie and myself had to start at the bottom of the group. And we had to earn our own stripes. And I think that we did that over 28 years. So I'm very thankful for that opportunity. I think I moved on in the sense that I stepped down in July of 2015. I'm an entrepreneur by heart. I've always started businesses. I love starting businesses. So even in a big corporate like LTech, you know, I started just like I've started Clickabit, which we're going to talk about now. You know, I started Netstar as a business, as a startup business. Now, that's a fact. There's no debate about it. It was myself and a few people. And we bought the technology from three Canadians, guys who actually immigrated to Canada. And the business started from there. Autopaid Cellular, I started as well with two other people.
Mm.
If it wasn't for Autopaid Cellular and the sale of Autopaid Cellular that I negotiated just prior to me stepping down in 2015, you know, we managed to accrue in excess of R1 billion for the sale of that business, which was a startup that I started with two other people. I spent 3 months in Europe to learn that business in order to start it in South Africa when it started. And I think at the end of the day, you know, I fear that if we didn't get that R1 billion in excess kind of cash injection, quite frankly, you know, Altron needed that cash quite badly at that point in time. So I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that, you know, LT Card Solutions was another greenfield operation that I started, where I signed the agreement with Schlumberger, which is now Exalto. LT Card Solutions now is a business that is contributing exceptionally well to Altron. You know, people have brought up East Africa. East Africa, factually, was sold for a R200 million profit in terms of our investment. So regardless of whether it was the right or wrong decision to get involved there, because I've been targeted a bit in terms of, well, Craig, this East African thing, East Africa made us a R200 million profit in terms of our initial investment and what we sold it for. And I sold it myself. I was tasked by the board to sell it, so I did sell it. And we got that benefit. LTIC Node, I've been criticized on that side. You know, LTIC Node is a business that probably maybe technology-wise was a bit before its time. But if you have a look at it today, Telkom's just announced, you know, full kind of LTIC Node type of business. All of the mobile operators are involved in potentially those type of businesses. Netflix in globally has done relatively well. So, you know, I'm not, I still feel that Altron, when you asked me a little bit earlier on whether some of these assets should have, you know, was it the right things to dispose of all of them? I think that LTIC Node, you know, taking a big write-off, you could have probably sold that business, or you could have probably done a JV with one of the big mobile operators in Africa or locally here, and it would have been a great business. But be that as may. So I think that, you know, after that, doing all of that and then stepping down in July of 2015 and then being an entrepreneur and not wanting to be bored, I decided that I would set up another business and start another new business, which is Clickabit. And Clickabit has been exceptionally successful from day one. It's grown leaps and bounds. I was very fortunate to have good black empowerment equity within the business, which I've still got, with me being the controlling shareholder, but then having good black woman empowerment in the structure. The Western Cape Gambling Board gave me a sports betting license, which was, you know, showing a lot of confidence in Clickabet and myself personally. And we are actively pursuing a mandate of becoming the largest sports betting operator in the country. And I think we've done a lot of constructive disruption up until now. I think now the last of which has been an announcement which you're aware of with CELC, which I think puts us in a very good position going forward. So the business is very successful. That's where my focus is. Okay. It's been a breath of fresh air. I feel that the business is my own business. I have the latitude and flexibility to operate it as I feel it should be operated. And quite frankly, I think that the success is there for everyone to have seen, including the CELC announcement, which is a big announcement.
So we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's take two steps back, Craig. Mm. How did Clickabet come about? Were you always a keen punter on sports? Where did the interest come from? Is this something you were working on while you were still at Altron, or was it something
I
came about?
Duncan, I've always been an entrepreneur by heart, and one looks at global internet traffic and you know, sports betting is huge in global terms. People love sports, especially in Africa. So in the back of my mind, even while I was at LTIC, but just purely a thought in my mind, was it's a good growth entity to be potentially involved in. And then when I stepped down at the end of July, I then applied myself to do a proper business plan once I'd left LTIC, approached the gambling board, and then I got the license on that basis. So I've never ever been a sports bettor myself. I've never been a gambler myself. I don't I've never experienced and got into that. From my perspective, it's purely a business opportunity, and it's basically creating something from nothing. And I think that if one looks at the UK, mobile and sports betting go together, and that's why the Cell C thing is quite important. And I think the market size is 36 billion rand. PricewaterhouseCoopers came out with their industry analysis.
That's the total market offline and online.
Total revenue for sports betting is $36 billion.
Okay.
Just for sports betting.
Right.
Online, out of the 36 billion rand in sports betting revenues in South Africa, 2017, 2 billion or just over 2 billion is online.
Okay, so it's a small percentage.
So it's growing. I think the online side is rapidly taking over from the bricks and mortar side. So to answer your question, I know in a long way, I have no inclination to be involved back at Altec or Altron in any way whatsoever. I think that my life has moved on. I've started a new business which is very successful in its own right, and it's taking all of my time.
This is your full-time focus now? Okay. How big is your team?
Well, one of the benefits, I think, of having an online business is you don't need 200 people or 300 people or 1,000 employees. So right now we've just got six individuals they're young, half my age, that are go-getters, that understand internet protocols and internet businesses, and we're really doing a good job on the online side.
What are the regulations like in this space? I'd imagine it's a very tightly or heavily regulated market.
Yes.
How do you get in? How do you get a license, first of all?
Duncan, it's true. I mean, I think, if one looks... It definitely the regulatory side is there. It's critical to the business. It needs to be controlled in the right ways. So in order to get a license, you need to apply for the license to one of the provincial gambling boards. Again, I think there's a difference between gambling and sports betting, and a lot of people probably don't see that. But you approach the board for a sports betting license. That needs to be accompanied with a very comprehensive business plan and strategy in terms of what you plan to do. And the board then decides over a long period of time and a lot of analysis and investigations whether they believe that you deserve to have the license or not. And fortunately, Clickbet had a comprehensive business plan, and I'm very thankful to the Western Cape Gambling Board for placing their trust in me and my team. I think the market needed an online specific and exclusive company to take us into the new technology era where the bricks and mortar side is declining. And I think they saw Clickbet as a company that could do that, and hence provided us with a license. And online is in the UK is already in excess of 90% of the market in the UK.
Wow.
I think South Africa is going the same way. I would say that you're probably going to be about 5-10% penetration will be at the hands of online going forward. And I think that's not just because of what's happened in Europe, but all over the world.
So just give me an idea of how a punter would use the system. Do you place a bet on a game that's happening on Saturday afternoon, for example, and you guess the score or you guess the outcome of the game, and then you put some money down, and based on that outcome, you either win money or you don't win money?
That's it. Yeah.
That's it, basically.
Yeah. So it's sports betting. The www.clickbet.co.za site is the portal. On the portal is over 1,000 sports. There's over 35,000 individual bets you could place per day if you really wanted to. Anyone would.
So this is not just local sports.
No,
this is global.
This is global. It's Manchester United against Chelsea. It's every Formula One race globally. It's horse racing is on the site as well. Lucky numbers or lotto is also part of the site. But not only South Africa, globally.
Mm.
So it's definitely a global website. It's global sports. My license is for South Africa, so obviously the betting needs to take place in South Africa.
Right.
But generally you're finding the younger generation now, get together for a braai on a Saturday, and 10 guys, and they various guys support Man U, other guys support Chelsea, and they put 100 rand or 200 rand on one of the other teams to win or lose. But it's not only just winning and losing. Mm. There's multiple bets that can be taken other than just the outright winner or loser. So there can be who will score the first goal? Will Ronaldo score the goal?
Okay. And
there's odds on that. There's what will the score be at half time? Will it be 1-0? Will it be 2-0?
So you can place bets while the game is actually happening?
Yeah. So I've got live in-play betting. So there's betting pre-match as well as live as the game's being played. And the odds are supplied by the world's number one odds provider, odds being the probability of winning or losing the bet. And those odds are provided through BetRadar, SportRadar, which is the biggest in the world. And they provide me with real-time online odds and events. Mm-hmm. So the events, as you know, there's a different tennis tournament every week. There's a new soccer, the EPL soccer games this weekend. Man U plays Liverpool. That's quite a big game. But obviously next week will be different games. So it's continuously updating, and it's real time, and the odds are updated all the time as well. So it's been a really good experience for me, in the sense that it's a breath of fresh air, new industry, and the growth profile has been amazing. It really has. Mm.
What's the profile of the average user of the platform?
Profile in terms of LSM, if you look at the kind of LSM markets and you look at the age, 29 to 38 is kind of the age group. Basically you've got, LSM target markets of between LSM 4 to 6 traditionally.
Okay.
But what you will have is now with our partnership with Cell C, is we're also addressing a lower LSM now by getting involved into the retail space, where we'll be involved with all of the Cell C retail stores, etc. And as you know, also Cell C also addresses that lower LSM base. So we're now looking at covering from LSM 3 to probably about 6.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just walk us through the mechanics of the Cell C agreement. You go to a Cell C store. It's only being launched in Gauteng for now. Mm. It's available at all Cell C retail outlets, and you buy a card for 57 Rand. This is a MasterCard branded card, which comes preloaded with credit, which you can spend 25 Rand, I believe. And then there's an additional amount that you make available on the first bet.
Yeah. So really a situation where we, with my experience of 28 years within LTech and the ICT industry, I wanted to try and bring high technology to the sports betting industry. And I think that's what the Western Cape Gambling Board and the gambling boards in South Africa are quite excited about, because this type of solution has been offered in Tanzania already, in Nigeria.
I believe it's huge in Nigeria.
In Kenya. Yeah, it's very big in Nigeria and Kenya. Kenya Safaricom is the mobile operator that launched it. They launched with a company, or an equivalent company to Clickabet, called SportPesa.
Okay.
And they are currently doing 30 million bets per month in Kenya. In Nigeria, as you say, MTN launched with a company called Bet360 in Nigeria, and their volumes have also been exceptionally high, because I think, again, those African countries are sports mad and they love soccer. And soccer is predominantly the biggest sport people bet on.
What are people betting, as a matter of interest, on your platform? What is the most popular sport?
I can tell you, in excess of 70% of the people on soccer.
Soccer? What, British soccer?
Yeah, so mostly EPL, British soccer, but also locally, Pirates, Chiefs.
Okay.
And I think with the disposable income being available in the lower LSMs in South Africa now, a lot of the bets are on soccer, and it's local soccer as well as international soccer.
And you'll probably see that growing with the Cell C agreement.
Yeah. Second biggest, rugby. Third biggest. I mean, tennis has been, that's why we chose those three sports for Cell C, was they the three kind of most high growth kind of sports where the volumes are.
Yes.
I think one thing you don't want to do on a mobile phone is put 1,000 sports onto a cell phone. And the real estate and finger trouble and it just becomes too complex and it's not a good user experience. So we limited it to the three sports, but we will introduce one or two additional sports as we go forward, as well as lucky numbers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So when you do the betting, you buy this card, you're a Cell C customer. You have to be a Cell C customer to use this.
That's correct.
Do you place the bet through a USSD menu, or is there an app that you download and use?
Yeah. So you just, as a Cell C subscriber, you dial *147#, which is the USSD number of Cell C. You get to the Cell C menu, which is a 10-item menu. Number 10 on that menu is sports betting.
Okay.
Number 1, 2, 3, and the various other numbers is if you want to buy airtime or you want a weather forecast, and Cell C's got a whole host of other value-added services. But sports betting is number 10 on the USSD menu after you've dialed *147#. You then are into the Clickabet software that we've developed, USSD software that we've developed over the last 9 months for Cell C. You basically then are into the USSD solution and can participate. But that is subject to you having gone into a Cell C store, purchased the prepaid debit card, Clickabet prepaid debit card for R57. Once you've purchased that card, there is a PIN number in the card, just like you get when you get your credit card. There's a 4-digit PIN number. You're going to then need that PIN number. As soon as you activate that PIN number, you're activated on the USSD solution as a Cell C subscriber. The
Do you have to go through a RICA, FICA type process as well?
Correct, yeah. Duncan, it's important because the regulatory side is clear. I mean, not only because of FSB regulations, but also the Western Cape Gambling Board and the Gambling Board regulations is people need to be FICA'd. So, people definitely must take their ID book with them or their smart card ID with them. They must have their proof of address not older than 3 months. They then get activated right then and there. It's instantaneous on the USSD. They've got their PIN number, and they can basically place bets right away on soccer, rugby, or tennis. Minimum bet being R5, but no maximum bet. And in real time, the odds are updated, like I said, through Global, through BetRadar. All of the really key events, like Manchester United against Liverpool this weekend, all the big events, it will give you probably on average about 10 events per sport that you could bet on, which are the big sports and the well-known, the good matches. And you can place your bets. I think what's key and what we felt was very important is that the prepaid Clickabet debit card that you purchase from Cell C not only enables you to do sports betting, but you can also buy airtime through that card, you can buy data, you can buy your prepaid electricity through
that card.
You
can actually use it at the point of sale as well, I believe.
I managed to get the card endorsed by MasterCard globally, internationally. So it is like a credit card, but it's a debit card. It can be used at any retail outlet. You can buy airtime, electricity. You've got your own separate wallet, if you will, which we create for you as soon as you've registered, which is really a wallet being a separate bank account, where you deposit money into that account and you use that to either pay for your electricity. You might take R100 or R200 out of that and use it for sports betting with Clickabet. The USSD allows you to transfer money from the wallet to the Clickabet account. It allows you to transfer and pay for prepaid electricity or any other value-added service.
Did you have to work through a bank to do this?
Yes.
Okay, who's the bank at the bank?
So the sponsoring and acquiring bank is really Mercantile Bank of Athens. And as you know, Mercantile being linked quite closely to APSA. So that's really the track. And that's why this has been 9 months in the making. I think when you see the USSD One sees just a couple of digits and text, but behind it has been a lot of hard work in software development, and then obviously getting the MasterCard accreditation, and then obviously the banks ensuring that we've got everything right, because there's FSB requirements as well as obviously gambling board requirements. So we've managed to do all the right FICA training throughout the different retail stores of Cell C, all 63 of their Gauteng stores. We've done a lot of work for 9 months in making sure that we dot the I's and cross the T's.
Okay. Is this an exclusive arrangement with the Cell C, or do you bring this to other mobile networks at some point in the future?
You know, at this point in time, our total focus is Cell C, and that's what we'd like to do. I think Cell C has had a culture of innovation that we've liked, and I've liked, because I've known Cell C right pretty much, you know, because of my previous life. I've known them for many, many years. I like the fact that they are aggressive, they're innovative, they also like to disrupt. So our cultures were very similar, and I felt that Clickabet is in the same position, is we want to be the biggest. I know Cell C wants to be the biggest. Cell C wants to disrupt and be innovative. We Clickabet is the same. We like to disrupt and be innovative. So the marriage was really good right from the start. And our total focus is and allegiance and loyalty is to Cell C.
Okay. And of course, if you're not a Cell C customer, you can go to the website and
that's right.
And you could place a punt there. Are you planning to develop smartphone apps as well to allow people to bet?
Yes, I think it's important, if one looks at the technology profile and how technology is moving, you do need to plan and make sure that, well, what is the follow-on to USSD? Where are the technologies going? You know, USSD today is still exceptionally popular. You know, where everybody is using it to buy airtime data, etc. So we're very comfortable with what we've launched, but we most surely, for the next 6 to 12 months, are going to be looking at, you know, apps and very, you know, right now Clickabet has its own mobile presence where you can, and that's outside of the Cell C deal that we've done. But, you know, it's not a downloadable app from overseas, where it's a native app. It's pretty much just a regular app, mobile app that's been optimized. So I think, you know, native apps being downloadable from Apple, that kind of thing, I think is a future, and it will be there going forward.
Okay. I look forward to playing around with it. Actually, I'm going to try it this weekend on one of the games. But what I know about sport is quite dangerous. So it's quite possible that I'm going to be losing a lot of money this weekend as well.
I'm sure you probably, you know, it's the you kind of guys that I'm going to be careful of. It's the guys that say that they don't have the experience, and then they hurt my bottom line because they win so much money.
But pure fluke if it happens.
I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it works well.
Great. Craig Venter is founder and CEO of Clickabet, and of course still a significant shareholder in Altron. Craig, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Pleasure. Thank you, Duncan. Pleasure.